My thoughts are self-diligent. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination. My thoughts are self-diligent. If I say to myself, my thoughts are self-diligent, then I have to really put the cause in motion to have them be self-diligent. For if I do not make my thoughts self-diligent, they will not bring me the results that I want in my life. If I do not make my thoughts to be self-diligent, I will not accomplish any goal or any desire or anything that I want. A diligent person is one who sets out to do a task and does it with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their being. A diligent person is one who has only one purpose in life, and that is to be the ideal person that they are. Now, do you know what it means to be the ideal person? Do you know what it means to be the ideal you, the ideal person that you are? Not the person who was born in Chicago, not the person who was born in Paris, not the person who was born in Africa, not the person who was born anywhere, grade high or grade low in the income program, not a person who is born to riches or to poverty, but the ideal person. Because you see, the ideal person does not depend on where you come from. It depends on who you are inside yourself. And everyone inside of themselves is that ideal person, but everyone doesn't choose to be that ideal person. Now, that ideal person is one who says, okay, I am a human being, and I'm going to be the best human being that I can possibly be. I'm going to be a very wonderful person, a very thoughtful person, a very loving person, a very gentle person, a very sincere person. I'm going to be the best human being I can be. Now, to be self-diligent in that area, most of the human beings on the face of the earth are quite practiced in that, and they choose to be that. They choose to do that. They choose to have that be their modus operandi, and they choose to follow that path. Now, that's good. That's very good. No one can belittle you for being a good human being. Now, is there anything more beautiful than being a human being? And the answer is yes. Being a divine being is more beautiful than being a human being, but not necessarily that you have to do that. But being a divine being is something that is absolutely gorgeous, absolutely fantastic, almost unknown to many people, because many people look within and they find their humanity, they find their humanness, they find their respect for their body, respect for their mind, respect for their community, respect for their world, and they find this is all well and good, and truly it is well and good. But if they were to look within and search for that divine quality, which they are, it's sort of hidden over by our humanity, and look for that divine quality that they are, what would they find? They would find that everything is in the now, which is true for the humans also. They would find that all is good and very good, which is true for the humans also, but the humans pretend sometimes that it's not good. The divine never pretends that it's not good. The divine knows all of the time and forever and ever and ever that everything is good and very good, as it was created at the outset. Now, when we look within and we are diligent enough to be aware of the divinity when we see it, oftentimes we see something so grand and we say, wow, it's too good to be true. It's too wonderful to be true. My, my, my. And so then we cut ourselves off from that too good to be true. Meanwhile, it remains good, and not too good, but very good. It remains the ideal good, the good that we would thoroughly enjoy expressing in our life, but we would feel out of place. Because the divine man would feel out of place with humans. Is that true? Not at all. The divine man is the ideal of all, and the human is a reflection of a portion of that. Now, why is the human not a reflection of all the divine man is? Because by the word human, we mean a being that feels that it is subject to its body, that is subject to its mind, that is subject to its world, that is subject to others. The human being is subject to the human world, and the human world is all about the human being. 7 billion, my gracious sakes alive. The human being is subject to that. Now, the divine being is not subject to that. The divine being knows that its diligence takes it further than any human being could ever go. The human being and its diligence is remarkable and beautiful and wonderful and desirable in every lovely way. But the divine being transcends all that. When you are looking at the world and you say, oh, isn't that terrible? Look at all of that unhappiness. Look at those evidences of war, and look at those evidences of a world in turmoil. Look at that. Oh, gracious sakes, how can that ever be? And then the divine person, looking at the same world, but through the divine eyes, through the eyes of a divine being, through the eyes of the ideal, looks out and sees the world as it had created it in the beginning and as it is now existing, regardless of the illusion that might be the contrary. The divine does not see it. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. What wouldst thou of me? I am the divine. I cannot see anything other than the divine. I cannot see anything other than the divine. Can you and I rise to this level of awareness? Definitely. And when we rise to this level of the world of awareness, what happens to us? The world looks at us as a charismatic leader. The world looks at us as the evidence of things not seen. The world looks at us as the divinity that we are and that they are. For truly the world can see the divinity in us, and we see the divinity in them. But it's easier for them to see the divinity in us than it is for us to see the divinity in them. Now, is that true? Not at all. As a divine being, you can only see another divine being. As a human being, you can only see another human being. Now, so long as we are going to pretend that we are human beings, so long that we are going to be self-diligent in the idea that a human being is the best and the most wonderful thing we could ever do, which is fine, then that's what we have. But when we take that step beyond, when we take that step further into who and what we really are, into our divine reality, into our ideal self, who is the ideal man? Who is the ideal woman? Who is the ideal child? What is the ideal world? A self-diligent being, looking from his divinity, sees the ideal world, man, being. And it is not difficult. It is not unusual. It is not something that is terrifying in any way, but it's glorifying in every way. Now, we have the privilege of being human and living with what we call the human limitations. and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We can die, so to speak. We never do die, but we can pretend that we die. We can pretend that we have illnesses. We can pretend that we have limitations of all sorts. And also, we can pretend that we are divine. Now, to pretend that we are divine sort of obviates the humanness. It places the humanness on the back burner. And pretty soon, the humanness is not given any attention at all. Does the divine man represent the highest that the human can ever raise to? Yes. Does the divine being, the diligent divine being, represent the ideal world, the ideal man, the ideal expression of all of the dreams, goals, and desires that any being could ever have for this planet Earth or beyond? Do we live on one dimension only? A self-diligent being, knowing his divinity, lives on all these dimensions, but enjoys each one as he chooses. Does a self-diligent divine being live forever? Oh, yes. Does a self-diligent human being live forever? Oh, yes. The human is just an illustration, a game that is being played. It's a temporary thing, because one minute you're human, and the next minute you're divine. You're always divine, but you pretend that you're human. One minute you don't know how to drive a car, and the next minute you know how to drive a car. You say, well, that's obvious, and that is, of course, a truism. But is it a truism? Is it an obvious truism? Is it something that, for all people, they recognize it instantly? Not quite. They can. A self-diligent person does. Because a self-diligent person sets the parameter of his thinking in the direction that is going to accomplish the goal that he chooses. Now, if you want to be the finest human being on the face of the earth, that's a noble and wonderful thing. If you want to be the finest divine being expression that can be the ideal divine being, well, that can be too. But if you are expressing, living, and enjoying being a divine being, you are unaware of human being. Wherever you look, you see a divine being. Whatever you experience, you see a divine being. You do not see a human being anymore. You do not see anyone who is limited by the term human. You do not see anyone who is limited by the concepts that humans call for and say are theirs. You have not risen above them, but you have taken on this expression of your reality, of your ideal reality, which does not include the limitations of the game. If you are a divine person, you breathe divine air. If you are a divine person, you eat divine foods. If you are a divine person, you drink divine water. Now, why can't a human being do that? Because a human being drinks human water, eats human foods, and lives in a human environment. Now, and it's the human's point. He calls it human. He calls it an environment of limitation. He calls it that. Now, when the human being begins calling things beautiful, pristine, magnificent, the most wonderful thing on earth, he's stepping into his divinity. He's looking now from the eyes of his divine self, his divine man being. And what he sees is who he is. A self-diligent person is a person who lives all his life from that inner vision of his ideal divine self. He lives from that inner vision of his divine reality, which only knows that which he is, only knows that which he desires, only knows that which is his reality. Do you want that? Do I want that? Well, we say we do. We say we do, but we keep falling back into our human mold. We keep falling back into the human attitudes. We keep falling back into the human thinking. Now, to be a divine thinker, to be self-diligent as a divine thinker, we must look at all the world and call it good, and then we will see it good. For if we do not speak our word and call it that, then we will be calling it human. We will be calling it temporary. We'll call it ever-changing. A self-diligent being recognizes all the world as fulfilled now. And the self-diligent being does not look for tomorrow for something to happen. The self-diligent being recognizes that it already is done and will always be done and cannot be undone. But the game the humans play pretends that it's not so. They pretend that it's yet to be done. And the day will come, it's already here, when they wake up to the realization that it is done now. And as they wake up to this realization that it's done now, oh my goodness, what a glorious hallelujah they will sing. What a glorious voice will raise to all the world. And their self-diligent thoughts will be revealed in wholeness, perfection, right action, peace, truth, and harmony right now. For truly it is done. And truly it always was done. And truly that's all that matters. Are you ready to live in your ideal self-diligent world? Are you ready to live in your realization of all being done right now? Are you ready to live in that? If you're ready to live in that, it's waiting for you. It's waiting for you right now. And how great it is. Claim that now for yourself. Claim it now in your heart, in your being, in your life, in your allness. Claim it and know that this is who you are. This is your divinity, ready to flow forth now in all its drama, in all its wholeness, in all its goodness. For that is all that matters now and forevermore. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.